Adam Pengilly from the Sydney Morning Herald. Good morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. Still trying to get over that product in the hair, Mido. What is going on?
Well, it's not true.
No, the product in the hair and the blue singlet.
Yeah, yeah. No,
it's not true.
You know what he did? You know what he did say in the break, Dad?
Good.
He goes, "She, you know, she stalked me."
No, I didn't say that at all.
She followed me around. She wanted me. She wanted to interview me.
Like, just the lies that get told on this program. You're the best. Anyway, last night, 36-12, Brisbane over Newcastle. But what did you make of, well, the two big contentious decisions that we're talking about? The Dane Gagai no try, and also the Selwyn Cobbo try, where Adam Clune looked like he may have been obstructed, and, well, the video or the bunker rule play on.
Yeah, Jared, I think that's two incorrect calls, if I'm being honest. The first one with Dane Gagai. Listen, we all know the rule's been in place for a number of years now. If you actually lose grip of the ball, you have to try and re-grip it. But in my mind, there was absolutely no separation whatsoever between the ball and Dane Gagai's arm. It might have like just loosened off his fingertips by a couple of millimetres. But if that's not a try, then what is a try? Like, I just thought that was a really, really harsh call on the Knights. And that's probably a case of the bunker just being so pedantic and just going so far with their microscope looking to take away tries. And I thought the Knights were hard done by, but the second call was the worst one, in my opinion. We have been listening to this rule for years and years now. If someone catches the ball on the inside of a decoy runner and then they promote the ball to the outside and a defender is impeded, then immediately that's an obstruction and the play is called back. How? How was that not called back last night, boys? I just do not get it. Clearly that there was contact made on Adam Clune. Whether he could have done a better effort in the tackle, yep, no doubt at all. But still, by the letter of the law and how the NRL has been telling us how this obstruction rule works for years, that was a no-try, a clear no-try.
Who's been the biggest surprise packet this year out of the Queensland side, you reckon, Adam? The Cowboys or the Broncos?
I reckon there's a split hair between them, Loz, to be honest. There's not a whole lot between them. The Cowboys, I will say, have been ultra-impressive, but they've probably had a bit of a softer draw than the Broncos, to be fair. And I thought the Broncos have been great, in particular the last few weeks. I had real concerns last night when Adam Reynolds was a late withdrawal of that game. I thought, geez, it's going to be a tough one for them. I don't think I'm going to get out of this one, but just their youthful enthusiasm from, you know, the forwards that you were speaking about before, boys, to their outside backs. Like Corey Oates seems like he's rejuvenated this year. Tamati Martin's been absolutely outstanding. And then Selwyn Cobbo, as you mentioned, I think he has to be right in the frame for Queensland Origin selection now. I think Billy Slater just almost cannot pick him the way he's going. So I think the resurgence of Queensland, the resurgence of the two Queensland teams this year has been absolutely outstanding and a real feature of the competition. And to be honest, Loz, I can't really split them about who's been the biggest surprise bucket so far.
Adam, Bulldogs have started their search for their new coach. Who's at the front of their queue at the moment?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Clarky. It's very hard to sort of get a gauge on which way they're leaning at the moment. Gus will obviously take his time to try and sift through some candidates and figure out which way he wants to go. The one thing I will say, I don't think it's going to be a really quick process. I think it's going to probably take at least a few weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks for them to try and go through what they want from their new coach, who's going to be the most ideal person, and they'll come to some sort of decision. I know Josh Jackson said during the week he'd like to get some clarity on it from a player's point of view relatively quickly, but this is a massive call for the Bulldogs. They've just got to get this one right. We've seen with the Dean Pay era and the Trent Barrett era, it hasn't quite worked out. I know Gus is talking about getting an experienced man. You would think at this stage that probably leaves Shane Flanagan right in the frame as well as Paul Green, but you just never know with Gus what he's thinking. He made big power plays in the past. We saw what he tried to do with Wayne Bennett, bringing him to Penrith before the board sort of overruled him and decided to bring in Ivan Cleary. I wouldn't be surprised if Gus has got something up his back sleeve or in his back pocket waiting to make a big, massive move here. Now, whether that's a Michael Maguire potentially, I don't know. I saw Madge yesterday came out and said he has no interest in taking on the Bulldogs job. But what happens if he's not coach of the Tigers later this year and in 6 weeks' time? He might not have any choice. So, listen, it's going to be a watch this space for sure. No early indication or no clear indication as yet, but I'd imagine that Shane Flanagan is probably somewhere near top of the pops.
And by the way, we've just got a text here. Adam sounds like he's in the shower, but that's because...
Because he might be.
He's not. Right.
Just leave your head out.
It's just stopped, but it was pouring for about 3 minutes then. But anyway, carry on, Loz.
No, I was going to ask you about Melbourne would have been happy that Craig Bellamy has extended for another 12 months.
Does this happen every year, Loz?
Well, it sounds like it's going to.
Yeah.
This is just going to be
for Melbourne's sake, hopefully for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, they want to hope that he continues to coach down there because it's going to be a hard act to follow when he leaves.
Yeah, I know they were extremely worried probably 5 or 6 weeks ago that Craig Bellamy was going to pull stumps at the end of this season, and they're going to start the search for the replacement coach. But obviously we've seen the stories come out in the last 24 to 48 hours that Craig had a really good conversation with Andrew Johns, who told him you just can't retire and decided not to. For, you know, the thing with Bellamy is that he always takes his time with these calls, and he can be very indecisive about his own future. For all the calls he makes from the day-to-day running of a football team with a lot of clarity, and he's really, I suppose, backs his own judgment, he on his own future, he takes a long, long time. But Melbourne are willing to give him that time, just given his record and his standing in the game. So how this affects some of their recruitment decisions going forward, listen, I'm not too sure. Cameron Munster is obviously the big one, and he's not off contract to the end of 2023, and Craig hasn't committed to coach to the end of to 2024 as it stands at the moment. So, yeah, I think Melbourne are quite relieved he's going to take on the job and keep going next year, and I'm sure we'll probably go through this whole process again next year in February and March and April. Everyone will be asking what Craig Bellamy's going to do. But you must have to think, Laws, he's getting really close to the end now.
Yeah, it sounds like he is, and I think with Craig, he'll certainly leave the Melbourne Storm in great shape. I said on the program yesterday, I don't think he'll squeeze them for everything that they've got and then leave them. I think he'll still leave them set up so they can have success, and I think that'd be a big part of his thinking as well. But I just want to touch on the Newcastle Knights. Where do you think they're at?
Oh, they're struggling, Loz, aren't they? They're really struggling. I know they got a couple of players back last night, and I thought Milford was quite good, Loz, to be honest, last night. A few of his touches are really nice. Obviously, he's lacking match practice, and I think even Adam O'Brien probably thinking and tuck up and maybe lose another kilo or two to get to his optimum fitness. But I look at that forward pack, and I know they've had a lot of injuries this year. I do get that. They've got guys in and out of the team. But when you go through Clemmer, the Saifidi twins, Tyson Frizzell, Lachlan Fitzgevin, Mitch Barnett, you know, that pack should be doing a little bit better than what they have been doing so far, I'd imagine, through the first 10 or 11 rounds. I think Jaden Brayley's been a massive, massive out for them. Him doing his Achilles before the start of round one has been a huge blow for them. He just gives them that stability around the middle of the ruck. It just tightens them up. A few more attacking options out of dummy half. And Chris Randall's trying hard, but he's no Jaden Brayley, it must be said. But their halves are an issue, Loz. I just can't think of the real proper homegrown half they've had in the last 10 years. I know Jared Mullen sort of was in that hot seat for a while, but since Joey, like, you think of that nursery they have up there in Newcastle, and they just struggle to produce top-line halves. And I don't understand why. So I think Jake Clifford was named to make his return through the New South Wales Cup this week, I think. Obviously had a few issues off the field he's trying to get on top of, but I can't see them playing finals at this stage. They probably had to win last night to be any chance of playing finals, and it looks like it's slipping away. So it looks like one of these years is going to be a complete rebuilding year, and that pack's not getting any younger either, Loz.
Racing. So we're back at Rosehill Gardens tomorrow. We've got Group 1s in Brisbane and Adelaide. Where's your tip?
Yeah, I'm going to sit with Rose Stewart. I've been in absolutely horrible form lately. I need to turn it around after the last few weeks. But race 8, number 1, Lady of Luxury, is going to be my best value bet on the program. Really like what she did throughout the sort of late spring and through the summer. She had a nice little break, trialled up well. I think fresh legs come into this race. A lot of these horses may be a bit bogged down on these wet tracks. And the 3 kilos off of Dylan Gibbons gets her in really nicely at 58 kilos. I think she's a high-class mare. So race 8, number 1, Lady of Luxury from that good gate. Might be a nice each-way play there tomorrow at Rosehill.
That is $8.50 the win, $3 the place. Race 8, number 1 for Adam Pengilly there at Rosehill Gardens tomorrow. Thanks so much, mate. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys. Enjoy the weekend.